Welcome to Without Regret. Be more, see more, achieve more that really matters. Lesson 17. Faith Sticky Notes for Living Without Regret. Part 3. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is an extremely important matter to God. He went to great lengths and sacrificed so that you and I can be forgiven by Him. God commands me to forgive because it's good for me and good for others. I want to be forgiving because He wants it, and I trust Him to know what's best. He wants me to forgive as He forgave. The Christian scripture says in Ephesians, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." Ephesians 4:32 in the New American Standard Version of the Bible. As hard as it is to forgive, it just makes sense. Sometimes when I feel unable to forgive and am hounded by thoughts of unforgiveness, I take a deep breath and pray, saying to God, "I can't forgive, but You can make it happen in me." I've been greatly helped and changed by that simple prayer. For an interesting parable that illustrates God's forgiveness, ours for one another, and God's response to our actions, read the parable in Matthew 18, 23 through 35. Isolation. Dr. Philip Zimbardo, psychologist and professor of social psychology emeritus at Stanford University, speaks to this issue of isolation. Zimbardo says, "I know of no more potent killer than isolation. There is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and of us from them. It has been shown to be a central agent in the etiology of depression, paranoia, schizophrenia, rape, suicide, mass murder. The devil's strategy for our times is to trivialize human existence in a number of ways, by isolating us from one another, while creating the delusion that the reasons are time pressures, work demands, or anxieties created by economic uncertainty, by fostering narcissism and the fierce competition to be number one. Support from one another is encouraged by the writer of Hebrews. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." Hebrews 10, 23-25 in the New Living Testament. We really do need each other for support, encouragement, and strength, especially as we make it our goal to live without regret. Even Jesus knew sabotage. As I watch for sabotage, I'm reminded that sabotage came frequently and from many sources in Jesus' life. Some of His saboteurs were those closest to Him, His disciples. They tried to prevent Him from fulfilling the mission given to Him by the Father. We can be our own saboteurs through dwelling on past mistakes, focusing on our weaknesses, doubting ourselves, and weighing ourselves down with discouraging and negative self-talk. The writer of Hebrews encourages that we strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and run the race that God has set before us, even when we are tired and it hurts, looking toward the finish line with Jesus as our example. Hebrews 12, 1-3. Paul, though he persecuted the cause of Christ at one point and had a good foundation for self-sabotage, refused to focus on the past and determined to press on in his mission for Christ. Philippians 3, 13-14. Be on guard for sabotage from yourself, your thinking, and others. Keep running the race toward completion of your mission. Painful experiences. Can you imagine how disorienting the acts of God must have been to Moses during the Exodus? Hearing God speak out of a burning bush, witnessing the plagues of Egypt, feeling the spray of the water as he stood before the parted sea in order for millions to cross on dry land, and experiencing the provision of daily food in the wilderness. And what about Jesus' earthly ministry? Seeing Him heal the sick, eat with outcasts, touch lepers, raise the dead, and himself appear alive from the dead? Here are 10 helpful, but hard, questions for when you are disoriented. What do I believe, know, and value that affects my response to this? How did I come to my thinking, beliefs, and behaviors regarding this? What are the facts related to this issue? What are my assumptions about this? How do I know my assumptions are valid? How have I integrated the scripture, honestly and accurately interpreted, into my perspective about the issue? How do I know that my perception about this is true and accurate? Why would it be wise to question my perception about this? Why do I care about holding to this perspective? Should I revise or not revise my perspective? Unrecoverable regret. I believe that there is one regret from which a person cannot recover. That one regret is turning one's back to God and rejecting His unmerited grace as extended to us in His unique, one-of-a-kind Son, Jesus Christ. God lovingly and graciously offers this opportunity for right relationship with Him as a gift to us. And like any other gift, it is not earned or deserved. We receive it by faith. Time and space are not eternal. There will be a point when time and space roll back into eternity and will be no more as we know it. Our life itself is finite. One day we will die and no longer have the opportunity for decision or action. The window of opportunity to accept God's offer will close. You can plan, act, and learn to avoid this unrecoverable regret by receiving God's loving offer of a relationship with Him. Please contact me for more information on this important part of living without regret. And I hope you will consider this carefully, take action on it, and live without regret, now and for eternity. Thank you for listening to this course on Listenable. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Michael Godfrey. Thanks for listening. I'm Michael Godfrey.